This is A Good Day, a collection of five ficlets from the fandoms Star Trek Reboot, Firefly, Harry Potter, Friday Night Lights, and Supernatural, on the theme of fireworks. The stories are written by Muses Fool, read by Rena Jenkins, contain various pairings, and are rated PG. 1. Federation Day, Star Trek Reboot, pairing Kirk McCoy. McCoy surreptitiously tugs at the stiff material of his dress uniform, fake smile on his face as he raises his glass to toast after toast. He takes small sips, unsure of the effects of the alien liquor on his system after so little food, and longs for the bottle of bourbon stashed in his quarters, the potato salad and pecan pie of home. At this point in the endless, inedible feast, he'd take the reasonable facsimile from the ship's replicators. When it's Jim's turn, he delivers his toast without stumbling over the clicks and glottal stops of the local language, and Uhura's not the only one eyeing him with quiet pride afterwards. They beam back to the Enterprise as the serious drinking gets underway. McCoy is glad of it, itching to be out of his uncomfortable uniform. "Come on, Bones," Jim says, steering him away from his quarters and towards the lift to the observation deck. McCoy grumbles, but allows himself to be led, knowing that fighting will just prolong his irritation, and Jim will get his way in the end. The lift doors open, and the deep black of space is laid out before them. It never fails to make McCoy's stomach quiver, though these days, it's with less terror and more awe than it used to be. "Look." Jim leads him around the deck so they can see the planet below them and the field of meteors crashing into its atmosphere, lighting up like the galaxy is celebrating with them. "Spock wouldn't let me have fireworks on board." McCoy makes a mental note to thank Spock, so this is the next best thing. He grins, looking young and happy and proud of himself. His lips are warm and soft against McCoy's ear as he murmurs, "Happy Federation Day, Bones." McCoy smiles and lets himself be charmed. "Happy Federation Day, Jim." 2. Unification Day, Firefly. "This may be the craziest idea you've ever had, sir, and that's saying something." "That's what makes it fun, Zoe. The whole damn moon is covered in purple bellies. And all of them are in town, goggling at the fireworks, and drinking themselves into oblivion. It's the perfect time for a little thieving. Ain't that right, River?" River nodded, her eyes huge behind her goggles. "Can't fight if they're passed out." Zoe sighed. "Your bit of fun ends with me riddled with holes. I'm gonna be a mite tetchy, sir." She finished wiring the charges and stepped back out of range. Mal turned to River. "You wouldn't like her when she's tetchy," he mock whispered. "Makes Jane look downright cuddly." River nodded again. "The plan is risky, but sound." She looked up at Mal with those wide eyes and said, "Can I blow the charges, Mal? Can I?" Zoe crossed her arms over her chest and bit back a smile, waiting to see if Mal would even pretend to be immune to the girl's pleas. Mal handed over the detonator with nary a protest, and as the charges went off, fireworks shot into the sky, glittering red and green and gold, indistinguishable from the town's showy display. "Happy Unification Day, Commander Hong," Mal muttered, as they emptied the smoke-filled vault. Zoe let her smile bloom. 3. Guy Fawkes Day, Harry Potter, pairing Remus Sirius. Sirius hasn't been outside in human form in a while, and the November air is chilly on his skin. He thinks about the moth-eaten fur robes tucked away in the closet, embroidered with the family crest, and decides the chill is bearable. Remus presses against him. "I'll keep you warm," he says, his voice rich with promises Sirius intends to make him keep. "But first things first." He produces a bag that says, Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, from somewhere within his pockets, and starts setting items from it on the ground.
Remus?
I remember how much you used to love fireworks, Remus says, touching the tip of his wand to the first fuse. It shoots off with a scream and bursts into a glittering cloud of red and gold when it hits the sky. The next one explodes into a lion that opens its jaws and roars at the moon. The third becomes a huge green dragon that breathes fire. Sirius can hear their muggle neighbors oohing and aahing from beyond the garden wall, and he's torn between wanting to preen at their admiration and wanting to keep the fireworks all to himself. He's caught by the shimmer dappling Remus's face and throat as he tips his head back to watch. Sirius chases the light on Remus's skin with his mouth, enjoying the hitch of Remus's breath and the shiver that runs through him. Remus turns into the kiss, mouth open and laughing.
I'll show you fireworks, Sirius promises, and kisses him again.
4. Independence Day, observed. Friday Night Lights, pairing Tammy Eric.
Independence Day is a big deal in Dillon. There's a parade in the morning with all the town's veterans, football players and townsfolk parading up Main Street while the Dillon High Panther marching band leads the way. Afterwards, the air is still ringing with brass and drums and cheers. People show up at the tailor's house, ready to feast.
Eric pretends he doesn't know how it started, but Tammy remembers his first couple of years as assistant coach, the way Smash and Street ended up hanging out in the backyard late in the afternoon, and of course she fed them. Hamburgers and hot dogs, fresh corn on the cob and coleslaw, watermelon, and her mom's famous pecan pie with ice cream and whipped cream on top. They tossed the football around until it got dark enough for the fireworks, and then they'd sit with their heads tipped back toward the sky, oohing and aahing over the town fireworks display. Sponsored by Buddy Garrity, of course. As the years passed, more boys from the team started showing up, and some of them started bringing their families with them. Nowadays, most of the team shows up with their families. The men stand around the grill, drinking beer and telling Eric how to grill his burgers and run his offense. The women overrun the kitchen with their trays of homemade cornbread and their patriotic jello molds. She tries not to feel like they're judging her. And the kids play touch football in the street out front. Tammy loves it, mostly, but it's exhausting. So every year, the Saturday after the holiday, she has her own Independence Day. She goes for a manicure, pedicure, and a facial, and when she comes home, Eric and Julie have cleaned the house. There are steaks on the grill and a piña colada with her name on it waiting on the end table next to the couch. She kicks off her sandals and sinks down onto the sofa, grateful to whoever invented air conditioning because it's too hot to live outside, and closes her eyes. She smells Eric's aftershave and hair gel and the underlying hint of soap and sweat before she feels the cushion dip as he sits down next to her, pressing the chilled glass into her hand and his warm lips to her cheek. I love you, she says, not opening her eyes. She can hear him smile around the words when he answers, I know. 5. The 4th of July. Supernatural. The 4th of July has never been a big holiday on the Winchester family calendar. Sam remembers 10-year-old Dean's excitement over M-80s and cherry bombs, and his disappointment when Dad explained that they were not actually as powerful as a quarter stick of dynamite, or even as powerful as they'd been when he was a kid, leading Dean to yet again bemoan the fact that he was born 30 years too late for cool stuff. But they'd never gone the beer and barbecue route, mostly because in the summer they'd never lived in one place long enough. Occasionally they'd been at Pastor Jim's for the annual 4th of July picnic, and his last summer at Stanford, Sam had gone home with Jess for the holiday. But since then, it's passed by unremarked by both him and Dean, noticeable only for the bumper-to-bumper traffic, with a shocking sound of mortars and sudden bursts of fireworks overhead as they hunted in the dark.
He'd asked Dean about it once. It's one of the few holidays Sam knows they spent as a family before Mom died. But Dean just shook his head and said he didn't remember. Sam's pretty sure he was lying, but he's never pushed. He'd tried to construct it in his head after they returned to Lawrence, and he knew what the house looked like. Mom on a blanket in the grass with him, Dean and Dad tossing a baseball around. And that's pretty much where Sam's imagination, usually exceptionally vivid, failed him. He couldn't picture John Winchester, spatula in one hand, beer in the other, grinning over a grill. So neither of them are expecting the jacked-up motel room rates when they pull into the warm welcome motel in Weehawken, New Jersey, or the extra $50 viewing fee the clerk charges them. "A viewing fee?" Dean says, tapping the credit card on the counter in an impatient rat-a-tap-tap. "We'd better be viewing Megan Fox naked at that price." "Fireworks?" the clerk says. He doesn't speak in complete sentences, which weirds Sam out a little. 9 o'clock tonight, on the Hudson River this year. Best view in Jersey. Huh. There's an arrested look on Dean's face that could mean trouble, or could just mean he doesn't want to fart in public. Even now, sometimes, Sam can't tell. They drop their stuff in the room and have a decent dinner at Houlihan's, where Dean complains that the burgers have gotten smaller while the prices have gone through the roof, and Sam wonders when they turned into a pair of curmudgeons. Hopefully it's just Dean anticipating the, "Hey, you kids get off of my lawn," stage, instead of deciding that he is not going to live that long, so he might as well enjoy it now. After dinner, Dean stops at a bodega near the motel and picks up a six-pack of El Sol. He has a whispered conversation with the pretty, dark-haired girl behind the counter, and Sam wonders if he is going to end up watching the fireworks from the car in the motel parking lot. But Dean shoos him outside with a grin. "She gave us free limes," Dean says, when they get back to the room. "Great," Sam says, not even trying to sound like he cares. He takes the beer Dean hands him, finds 1776 on TV, and is ready to settle in for the night, but Dean won't let him. "We paid an extra $50 to view the fireworks, so we are gonna view some goddamn fireworks," Dean says, herding him up to the roof. It's a clear night, very little in the way of smog. The New York City skyline gleams across the river, and Sam wonders vaguely what it would be like to live there, to work in one of the white shoe law firms headquartered in those buildings. He doesn't have any real desire for that particular life anymore. But still, sometimes, he wonders. There are some cheap lawn chairs set up, but nobody else is around. Figures Dean's the only one who shelled out the extra $50. "What do you care, Sammy? It's not even our money. You're the one who made a big deal out of it, not me." Dean takes a long sip of his beer and says, "Whatever," in a way that makes Sam feel like an ungrateful prick, even though he hasn't done anything wrong. They've both been twitchy and short-tempered lately, all the bad decisions and their consequences weighing them down, and the knowledge that it's only going to get worse hanging over them, like a fucking black cloud of doom. The distinctive click of Dean's Zippo snaps him out of his dark thoughts. "Here," Dean says, and shoves a sparkler at him. He takes it and flinches when a stray spark hits his wrist. "What the hell, Dean?" "We had sparklers," Dean says, finishing his beer and setting the bottle down before lighting another sparkler. He holds it carefully, twirls it easily, gaze tracking the path it lights. "I remember that year, kind of. Mom wore a t-shirt with an American flag on it, and Dad played catch with me. And when it got dark, he lit sparklers, and he let me hold his hand when he spelled our names out with it." The words tumble out, quick and breathless, making Dean sound 20 years younger than he actually is. "Oh." Sam's surprised at how close he'd come to getting it right in his fantasies. Dean's teeth flash white when he grins. Yeah. They go through the whole box of sparklers. There are 2 dozen, but a couple are duds. Mock fencing with them, and generally behaving like 12-year-olds, before the real fireworks start. The show is impressive, but Sam is pretty sure the thing that's going to stick in his mind about today is the sparklers. He's lying in bed later, can still see the golden sparks behind his eyelids, when he says, "Happy 4th of July, Dean." Dean's voice is slurred with sleep when he answers, "You too, Sam." Sam curls up on his side and lets himself drift off. It was a good day. The end.